I'm often asked, is there one thing you wish you could cover more in this extraordinarily packed news cycle? And I say, yes, climate change. So here we go. A recent report concluded that a total of 28 trillion tons of ice, yeah, trillions, has disappeared from the Earth's surface since 1994, a finding that shocked even the researchers conducting the study in the UK. They analyzed satellite images of the planet's ice-covered surfaces, everything, glaciers, mountains, poles, the first study to look at ice melts from every region of the planet. Researcher Andrew Shepherd is the director of Leeds University's Center for Polar Observation and Modeling. He was integral to this study. Professor Shepherd, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me on the program.
And could you just tell us first, this is catastrophic, what you discovered. When you first realized the totality of this, how much ice had melted, you know, your thoughts, and we are a family-friendly program, so choose your words carefully, but what did you say? What did you think?
Well, it was really quite a surprise to see how much ice has been lost when we looked everywhere. My team have looked at different parts of Earth's cryosphere on different occasions in the past. We tend to specialize in Antarctica and sometimes in Greenland. But when we added everything up together, we saw similar amounts of ice being lost in every corner of the planet, actually. And so that multiplied up what we'd been looking at from Antarctica alone, for instance, to a number that was much, much bigger and really quite worrying.
Yeah. Can you put it into some sort of, so that we can picture it, what 23 trillion tons of ice would look like?
Well, it's a huge number, and it's really hard for people to get their head around what that actually means. The reason we report the actual tonnage is so people can remember the simple amount that's being lost today. It's about a trillion tons each year. And so that's an easy number that people can remember. It might be hard for them to visualize what it actually means. But if you spread all of that ice on the UK, for instance, where I live, it would be 100 metres thick, 330-odd feet, right? I mean, that's a thick layer of ice, and the UK is not a small country. In the past, when we've looked at ice loss from Antarctica and Greenland, we've converted it straight into sea level rise because that's where the water ends up when it melts from above ground. But our study looks at the two different types of ice on Earth, the ice that's on the ground that we can see when we go to mountain ranges, for instance, but also the ice that's floating in the sea. And that doesn't convert straight into sea level rise because it's already part of the ocean. But it's just as important to Earth because it keeps us cooler than we otherwise would be.
Well, and let's talk about why, but start with the sea level rise. This ice that's normally above land and is melting into the sea and causing it to rise. You say that every centimeter of sea rise, that's about a third of an inch, means a million people will be displaced.
Yeah, we've tended to think about sea level rise being a problem for low-lying islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And it's a somewhat of a convenient displacement tactic because it makes people think they may not be affected. But it's become increasingly apparent that the bigger threat to our lifestyles and also livelihoods is coastal flooding when we have intense storms which superimpose themselves upon the mean sea level. And today, a coastal storm might only affect a city around the world once every 50 years or so. But if you press up sea level on average by even 50 centimetres, which is what we expect over the coming decades, the frequency of coastal flooding just goes up really, really quickly. And we expect an extra million people to be flooded once per year with every centimetre of sea level rise.
We already have many cities in the United States that have sunny day flooding, you know, water that's coming up through manholes. It has nothing to do with a storm. We know there's a whole town in Louisiana that's got to be moved. They're going to be climate change refugees because of coastal flooding there. So you're saying it's going to dramatically increase. That's one impact of the melting ice. The other you alluded to, this idea that these sheets of ice, whether they're out in the water, so they're already part of the sea and they may not cause the sea to rise, or whether they're on the land, they are white and they're reflective. And when they melt, what does that mean for air temperature?
Well, it only means one thing. It means that there's more blue on the planet because that was otherwise frozen and now it's ocean. It absorbs more heat and the planet warms up more quickly. That's the first simple positive feedback that people learned about when we first started studying climate change was that if you retreat the sea ice, particularly in the Arctic Ocean, but also now in the Southern Ocean, so you just bring forward in time the sea level rise that we thought might be 50 or 100 years away, it's going to happen sooner because the floating ice is melting too.
Yeah. The report pretty much fulfills the worst case scenario that was predicted 30 years ago by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That's the IPCC. What is your sense of, you know, people didn't believe it then, many didn't, and now you're presenting this in the middle of a pandemic and in some parts of the world, including the U.S., a moment of huge racial reckoning, economic collapse in several places because of the pandemic. What are the chances of your getting anyone's attention?
I think that people are concerned. Certainly for the past 3 months or so, our attentions have been elsewhere. But we've also been fortunate enough to learn in the past few months that we can live without many of the, I guess you might call them luxuries that we used to believe we depended upon and that our economies depended upon. Transport, everybody flooding into cities every day to work in offices, and the consequences associated with that upon air pollution. We've learned through this natural experiment that the world doesn't end when we change our lifestyles, and we can continue and be prosperous. And so it's been a little bit of a fortunate experiment because people can't say now that we can't adapt to climate change. And then the next question is, what are the costs of doing nothing? And we now realise that economies can be rebalanced to deal with emergencies. We've done that in most countries in the world. We've found cash where people believed it didn't exist. And we can do the same for climate change. And ultimately, it won't be a luxury decision that we can afford to do because we feel worthy about it. It's a simple economic cost. We can't continue to allow coastal cities to be flooded and people to bear the cost.
It strikes me, though, you're not just fighting a pandemic, you're fighting, at least in some pockets, science denial during the pandemic, science denial about climate change. And yet you've got these facts. The researchers from the Alfred Wegener Institute for Polar and Marine Research published a report just a few days before your study revealing that 532 billion tons of ice melted in Greenland in 2019. That's 223 billion tons in the month of July alone. Greenland has the world's second largest ice sheet. We were in Iceland, and we stood on this huge plain, several football fields long, looking up at a glacier we were going to climb, and learning that that glacier used to be where we were. It had receded several football fields. How long do you think we have?
Well, it's never too late to take action. For sure, we've already bought into a certain amount of sea level rise because we're not going to cool the planet back down again. I think that's unrealistic. But we're definitely able to slow down the rate with which the planet continues to warm. And the real challenge is making sure that the speed with which the melting occurs isn't too fast for us to be able to adapt and change our lifestyles around coastal areas. You pointed out about Greenland that there's been a couple of years prior to 2019 where Greenland was losing far less ice than it had been doing for the 10 years prior to that. And of course, people said, oh, this is all reversed. Well, it hadn't reversed. 2019 became the record melt year for Greenland ever. But even in those two relatively mild years, Greenland lost more than 100 billion tons of ice per year. And that's a very large number for Greenland alone. It's a new normal. We're living in a time when ice is melting everywhere on the planet. And now we've got 20 or 30 solid years of satellite measurements. It's really impossible for people to deny that that's happening. You might wish to argue, should I say, that the reason it's happening isn't because of anthropogenic or man-made climate warming. But the consequences are going to affect us irrespective of what the origin of these changes is. It is, in fact, true anyway, that the only thing that can cause ice melting on this scale is global warming.
Andy Shepherd, director of Leeds University's Center for Polar Observation and Modeling. He also participated in the joint study that found that 28 trillion tons of ice has melted around the globe in the last three decades. Professor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.